DW Africa Link.
Should creatives play any role in politics? Well, it depends on who you ask. Some say that creatives like musicians, content creators, and actors should steer clear of politics. But with democracy being tested across parts of Africa, some argue that African creatives should use their star power and influence to promote democracy. So how exactly can creatives save democracy? And what are the pros and cons with getting involved in politics? That's what's coming up. I am Eddie Micah Jr., and you are welcome to Africa Link, the podcast connecting you to the stories that matter.
Africa Link, every weekday, here on DW.
Poor political performance by African leaders is posing a threat to Africa's commitment to democracy. Those are not my words. That's according to the latest survey by Afrobarometer, the Pan-African Research and Survey Group. The findings revealed that popular support for democracy has declined sharply over the past decade in several countries. They also found that opposition to military rule among Africans has rather weakened. Interesting, isn't it? To talk more about this is Dr. Kojo Asante. He is the Director of Policy and Partnerships at the Center for Democratic Development, Ghana, and a member of the West Africa Democracy Solidarity Network. Hello, Doctor. Thanks for joining us. Also with us is DW correspondent in Lagos, Nigeria, Olisa Chukwuma. Hello, Olisa.
Hello, Eddie. Good to be on the show once again.
Because it's quite an important topic, Doctor. We're talking about democracy and the role of the creatives. We wouldn't be talking about the role of the creatives if, you know, so to speak, democracy was still super strong and everyone was giving it thumbs up. We're doing this because, according to some analysis and some reports, it seems the support for democracy in Africa overall, but specifically in some countries, is on the decline. Doctor, how widespread really is this based on your analysis, and how concerned should we be if that is the case?
Thank you very much, Eddie. The Afrobarometer surveys, this is a popular survey that's been tracking opinions of Africans for the last over two decades now. They issued a flagship report called the AB Insights recently, and they looked at about 30 countries over between 2011 to 2022, over a decade. And they show that support for democracy has declined about 7% on the average over that period. And in a country like South Africa, it's dropped by 29%. And I think if you see the recent elections in South Africa, you would understand what had happened there. And then a place like Mali, which is now under a military regime, it had dropped by 23%. So generally, we are having some challenges. Opposition, for example, to military rule has dropped or weakened by 11% across 30 countries over that same period. In Mali, Burkina Faso, it had dropped by 40%. So people are less willing to reject military rule than they used to in the past.
I mean, it sounds very concerning, Doctor, to say the least. I mean, why is this worrying trend emerging? Is that something that is sort of just coming out of the blues, or did we see it coming? What's contributing to this?
Two factors. A lot of the drivers of dissatisfaction are coming from two places. One is a lack of progress on socioeconomic development, and it really became more pronounced in the pandemic and post-pandemic period. So we really have struggled, and I think it's globally, but particularly on the continent, and I would say even in West Africa, really badly in the post-pandemic period. But one of the main drivers is really poor governance.
Right, right. And so because of that, people feel that democracy needs to be promoted or saved. And this is why, Olisa, I know you've been listening keenly to everything that Dr. Asante has been saying, because Nigeria, Africa's largest democracy, most populated, largest economy, you know a thing or two about, you know, people demanding much more from their government. I mean, it's not too long ago that we talked about NSAS. This was a protest against police brutality. Creatives, can be said, were leading the charge in this case. And it's not just that. Even recently, protesting about the economic situation in Nigeria, some creatives were involved. So, Olisa, are we saying in Nigeria the creatives are very much involved in trying to push for, you know, the strength of democracy? What's the environment like in Nigeria to encourage it?
If there's one thing we've in Nigeria we've known for when it comes to activism and, you know, getting to trying to hold the government accountable, people will turn to Fela Anikola Kuti, the great Fela Kuti. You know, his songs were really conscious about society and corruption back in the day. And that almost set like a template for other creatives, whether in music, whether through acting, or whether through these days social media, as we saw, because we have people, they call them influencers. It's not just the artists or the musicians or the people who are acting, the superstars who have influences. The people who are doing things on social media, on Instagram, on TikTok, they are the ones with the followers. They are the ones who have voices. So generally, it is very open for them to take part in it. And the NSAS movement, so it happened 4 years ago, almost 4 years ago now, did see, yes, there were a couple of people who you know from mainstream music industry and creatives, but the as creatives, you know, it can be a broad term, you know, and this the social media people, the influencers, they see themselves as creatives. They call themselves the main creatives, and they were the ones who basically were jumping on the hashtags, going to the front line, sharing videos and all that. So the Nigerian environment, when it comes to search for creatives to champion democracy or champion good governance, they are always, you know, at the forefront of it. They recently just had another protest, which they call End Bad Governance in Nigeria. Creatives, too, did all sorts on social media to lend their voice. So Nigeria is very open when it comes to that part.
Right, right. I mean, is there a challenge foreseen when it comes to creatives getting involved in politics? Because that's another part of the argument, isn't it, Olisa? That it's like, okay, focus on your music, don't get into politics, because I may support, say, Burna Boy, but maybe Burna Boy starts addressing a politician and I'm like, well, that I like the politician too. So because of that Burna Boy, you've lost me. Isn't there a challenge there, Olisa?
It's quite a murky water to navigate, because many people have come out to accuse the modern Nigerian Afrobeat superstars, who are clearly global. A lot of people will come out who will tell you that these guys are not doing enough to lend their voices to the cause, not just in their music, but also joining in the activism. You know, they say maybe they are afraid, they don't want to ruffle feathers in the politics, and that's why they're keeping their voice quiet. But some others will say, hey, but these artists are singing songs about how the country is bad. It may not be in the like kind of fella kind of openness where they call names in their music, but you know, they are doing what they can. So it's a mixed one. It's neither here nor there for the mainstream artists, but for the creatives, like for the people on social media, because we have to talk about social media being the new form of media now. Not that you can express yourself as a creative, whether you have talent or you do skits or you do comedy or you do something funny or whatever on TikTok or Instagram, they are the ones who are getting endorsements. They are the ones who are getting money. And they are the ones who, you know, always, they can't avoid it, because these days, movements, protests, activism happens on social media. And if you're an influencer who happens to be there, you can't be found wanting. So you just have to join in and, you know, support the people. But it's a hard one to navigate. Many people will remember back in the early 2000s, during the time of President Obasanjo, there was a popular musician, Idris Abdul Karim, who had a very popular song then that, you know, people still sing till today, which the president was not happy about. Didn't really call names, but he just came out and said, Nigeria, jaga, jaga, everything scatter, scatter. That song, I tell it to today, Eddie, still makes a lot of people edgy. And many will say, after Idris released that song, his career maybe did not go further, or there's lots of debate about what happened to Idris's career after that song. But it goes to show you the kind of murky waters our modern-day Afrobeat global stars will have to navigate if they want to go the fella style, so to speak.
Right, right. And I mean, about that song, it's I think it's one of the most popular songs from inside Nigeria. I still remember some of the lyrics. But I mean, Dr. Asante, as we're saying, so you started by talking about the pros involved with creatives, basically getting involved in promoting democracy and basically connecting with politics. But we also know that there are cons. Is it a case of the pros outweigh the cons, or is it something you'd say creatives still kind of have to watch out if they want to focus on their creativity?
I think it's not one size fit all. I think we all have to sort of learn how to navigate the space. I mean, once we can agree on the principle that we are not in normal times, and that we agree that we need to build a democracy that works for all citizens in Africa, and one that also works for creatives. If we are agreed on those principles, then we are committed to the work. I think creatives can help in many, many different ways. You know, as Olise was saying, that on online, different types of influencers will get involved. But even getting involved means that you also need to educate yourself about those social causes, about the principles of democracy, so that you can make a meaningful contribution, because you don't want to actually add to the problem and misinform people and undermine, you know, the democracy project by you know, adding you know, toxic information and so on. So even the whole idea of providing information to influencers and creatives so that they can understand, you know, what a democracy project is, that you can create platforms for them to engage about how creatives can play this role. I mean, MI is one example. MI Nigeria is one example, you know, where, you know, like the fellas and so on, who are committed. So through their music and through their foundations and so on, do these things on a daily basis. There are some that may not do it through their music, but they can use their money to support causes that can champion, you know, that work. So there are many different ways in which creatives can support. But I think it's agreeing on the principle that we have to contribute to that effort, that there has to be a push, a real push by creatives, you know, to support this, you know, counter effort to push back the decline in democracy.
Right. On the other hand, shouldn't there be a system, a proper system that protects creatives from, you know, being attacked in any way because they are getting involved in politics? Because, I mean, I think we all agree that democracy means anyone can get involved in politics and anyone can express their views. And if it means pushing for democracy, creatives are allowed to do that. But there should not be repercussions for that. So how can we protect them?
I think that applies to all activists, because that's one of the things that we are fighting very, very hard. You know, at Wademos, one of the key pillars of our work is human rights defenders. You know, whether it is election observers, you know, who have been attacked for doing their work, or people who are fighting for human rights, or, you know, any type of citizen who is just, you know, trying to assert their rights in any kind of society, you know, they need to be protected, whether it's, you know, their right of free expression or free speech, or, you know, artistic license, or or all of those things. And that's why I made the point right at the beginning that the best environment for creatives, you know, to thrive is a democratic system because of all those freedoms that are promoted and protected. So when we build those kinds of systems, that's where a creative is protected. And that's the same thing that we try to put and those kinds of mechanisms that we try to put in place for creatives. There are a lot of mechanisms, you know, there are all kinds of things like shelters, like defenders, you know, to protect activists who, you know, have been targeted in their homes, in their home countries, and all of that. But you hope, you know, you don't want it to come to that. But we know that in these sort of difficult scenarios, you have to make provision for people to continue to ply their craft, because at the end, for some of them, it's their livelihood. But it's also their humanity. You know, they lose their music, they lose their poetry or their painting or whatever, and they lose their soul, because that's what defines them, you know, as human beings. So just keeping them going, even as they go through those struggles, is such an important part of helping creatives go through these challenges. But, you know, it's the same thing for any activist, anybody that is trying to make a difference in their community.
Right, right. Well put there. Olisa, in some situations, we've seen creatives end up actually directly involved in politics, become politicians themselves, even. In Nigeria, I can easily think about one of my former favorite actors, Desmond Elliott, who actually became a politician. Has that made any impact in any way? Or were they taken away by the storm when they got into politics?
Well, that will be for people in Desmond's actual constituents to really answer. We also saw the likes of Funke Akindele, who joined the opposition party last time in the last round of elections. She contested as a deputy governorship candidate for Lagos, but that really didn't yield water. You know, in terms of the real impact, after you become from a politician, from a creative to an actor, and what did you do after, you know, getting there? You get this. It's almost basically the same old story, because I remember doing the NSAS. People like Desmond Elliott was singled out for trying to, you know, champion the kind of a bill that would have clamped down on social media. And people did not find that funny because they felt, oh, coming from a fellow creative, that's almost like a double whammy.
Sometimes it can be argued some do it for the money, so they get involved into politics. Some do it because they really want to protect democracy. Sometimes it's difficult to know what people really want to get out of this. But Doctor, I'm going to give you the chance to give your final words to wrap this up.
For me, I think it's to remind everybody that we are in a difficult period. West Africa used to be, maybe 10 years ago, 15 years ago, a leading light in when we used to talk about the African Renaissance, making progress in our democratization. And then we've begun to decline. Now there are four coup d'etats in the area, and there are many challenges in many other African countries, in East Africa, in Central Africa, and so on. But the Afrobarometer continues to show that citizens still prefer democracy to other forms of rule, even though they also show a large dissatisfaction with the supply of democracy. What that clearly shows is that if we are able to provide citizens with the tenets of democracy and allow for good governance so that we can deliver the development, then, you know, citizens should be able to fulfill the aspirations and the well-being of many, many, the millions of Africans will all be realized. And I think the for me, creatives have a real role to play at this time when we need the whole of society to support this, you know, real call to action for us to try and fulfill this mission.
Thank you very much, Dr. Akujo Asante, Director of Policy and Partnerships at the Center for Democratic Development, Ghana, member of the West Africa Democracy Solidarity Network. Also, DW correspondent in Lagos, Nigeria, Olusa Chukwuma. Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you. Thank you, Eddie.
Get the stories that are shaping the continent here on Africa Link.
Talking about creatives in politics, one person comes to mind from the Gambia. He's a musician involved in activities and using his craft to deepen democracy in his country. He started by pushing for an open and democratic society in Gambia under exiled leader Yahya Jammeh. He even had to flee for his safety and only returned after the former president was forced out of power. He goes by the name Ali Cham, but his stage name is Killer Ace. Hello, Killer Ace. Thank you very much for joining us. So, we're looking at creatives and their role in politics, right? And, you know, there's different schools of thought. Some feel creatives should be involved in politics to help push for democracy. Some say, well, creatives should just mind their business and not get involved in politics. Well, you did the former. You got involved in politics. You've been pushing for deepening democracy in Gambia. Tell us about that experience and why you thought it was important to do so.
Yes. Personally, I do believe that creatives, you know, and artists such as myself, we do have that social obligation to, you know, give back to those same people that are listening to us, as, you know, those are the people that are the people in society in general that face the situations of the or the conditions, you know, of the environment. And as an artist, you are a voice. A majority of the population or the fans or the citizenry don't have that platform to speak out or have the reach that you do to speak on important issues. So coming from society yourself as a musician or as a creative, I think that should give you the automatic moral responsibility to at least be there, you know, for the people using your platform, especially when it's needed. You know, even though I agree everybody has their own lane, has their own vibe or has their own direction artistically. But since, you know, you're part of society, when the society needs you, you should be able to use your platform to support the society as well. So for me personally, coming from my environment in the Gambia, anybody that knows me knows that, like, growing up in New York, I used to rap, but the context was different. But as soon as I arrived in Gambia, landed at the airport, saw the dirt roads, saw little children with bare feet selling water, and saw the environment, you know, it made me cry and realize that people are actually suffering. So my musical context has to change to fit this environment, because this is the actual reality, you know. And that's how me being that social artist actually started, by just landing at the airport, coming from America as a child, and seeing the big contrast. And it just made me cry. And I felt like, you know, now I'm not going to be talking about the girls and the guns and the bling blings, but I'm going to talk about the everyday stress, which leads to frustration, walking down dirty roads, which don't have enough pavement. You know what I'm saying? So that's how my lyrical context changed. And years and years passed on, where it became more and more like into societal issues.
It's interesting all that you're saying, and to note that this movement of yours trying to get political kind of cost you, because you had to flee Gambia under then leader Yahya Jammeh, and you only came back after he was no longer the leader. What does this really say about the risks to take in when creatives get involved with politics?
So regarding risk, I mean, any artist or creative that takes the angle of basically speaking out against the system or the government or societal issues, from corruption to youth unemployment, police brutality, you are at risk automatically. I mean, my case was, you know, different, because we all different, live in different areas. We had a dictator who would actually torture and kill people and nothing would happen. So I had to flee, you know, with my family, you know. But that's not the only risk that comes with being an artist who actually advocates for social change. Other things that happened to me, apart from going into exile, that I learned from, and I believe that creatives should learn from, is also, even if they don't try to kill you or harm you, they can block you. They can block opportunities. They can create propaganda, which could lead to people thinking that, ah, this guy is only political. Look at his, you know, look at his other peers. They're doing good, blah, blah, blah. And he's just here complaining. And, you know, in my case, they probably even give other artists diplomatic passport or even block opportunities where media might even seem afraid to associate themselves with you, probably lose endorsements and potential financial business deals that you could have gotten because the fact that now you're labeled as a political anti-government artist, you know, all of those opportunities are blocked. So my advice to creatives would be to, one, be very careful, you know, and mindful, you know, of their surroundings and environment, depending on which region or area they're in. Two is always to be consistent, because once you're doing it for the people will always have your back. You know, and it's not a, don't always personalize the thing. Make sure that you're doing it for the people. And eventually, no matter how long it's going to take, the truth will always prevail. The masses will always be behind you. You will always have great people to support what you do. And at the end of the day, your objective of the advocacy that you're doing will have that impact. The president will hear it. The parliament will hear it. The ministers will hear that song or artistic expression. And I do believe that being consistent and, you know, making sure that, you know, you believe and love the fact that you're doing something that's for the people. You know, I think that alone should just keep on giving you passion.
Okay, thank you very much, Kilaiz. That's it from this edition of Africa Link. Join the conversation on our Facebook page, DW Africa. Listen to us on Spotify or wherever you get your podcast from. Click follow so you don't miss an episode. This show was co-produced and edited by Isaac Mugabe. And I am Eddie Micah Jr. Thanks for listening.
DW. Made for Minds.